Welcome to Personnel Matters, the official podcast of the Air Force Personnel Center, hosted by Major General Jefferson O'Donnell.
Welcome to Personnel Matters. I am Major General Jefferson O'Donnell, Commander of AFPC, and your podcast host. I'd like to welcome Chief Luke Nelson, who is standing in for Chief Ludd today. He is the Chief of Enlisted Promotions Policy within our Personnel Programs Directorate. Welcome, Chief Nelson.
Thank you, General. It's great to be here.
We're here to provide information and updates on the programs and processes at the Air Force's Personnel Center that guide your career. This podcast is also a direct line where you can reach out to me with questions, concerns, or suggestions. Your Air Force's Personnel Center executes more than 400 programs covering the entire lifecycle of Department of the Air Force military and civilian personnel. Now, during this podcast, we are going to discuss the many educational and development courses that are available to airmen and guardians. And specifically, we're going to talk about enlisted. Chief Nelson, before we talk about the specifics of, you know, applying for enlisted PME and the different courses, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the origins of enlisted PME. As I understand it, you know, looking at the history after World War II and the creation of the Air Force, we recognize that the role of the non-commissioned officer had evolved. It's no longer technician only, but really more important, we needed people to be, focused on the mission and also be able to manage the mission and manage people. And so the concepts of formal enlisted professional development took shape kind of early 1950s with the establishment of the non-commissioned officer leadership development programs and academies across various commands. And then on January 30th, 1957, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, General Nathan Twining, standardized our enlisted PME system when he signed Air Force Regulation 50-39, Air Force Enlisted Professional Military Education. And really, they kind of went into standardizing it and, of course, then applying the enlisted force structure for our PME. But I guess really that doesn't tell us why PME. So, Chief Nelson, what thoughts on, you know, why enlisted PME?
Thanks, General. That's a great question. As I think about this, I like to tie it into a little bit of our warrior ethos, because really what that is, it's the guiding principles in a mindset, how it shapes how our airmen think, act, and lead in today's force, regardless of their classification, their AFSC. And having enlisted professional military education brings all those folks together so that way that they can, one, work together, they can influence leadership's decisions, and they also come away with a skill set to better work together outside of just their own jobs and that as well. We talk about leadership development and how it helps equip the enlisted members with their skills, to acknowledge effective leaders to supervise and manage their programs. So we're not just talking about the tactical experts anymore. It's the operational managers that we're developing through these courses with enlisted PME.
Yeah, it's really helpful. And one thing we talk about, we just did a senior NCO induction ceremony on Friday. And one of the things we talk about with our NCOs and senior NCOs is their role in developing other enlisted members, civilians, and especially young officers. Our senior NCOs have years of experience, and our officers who are not prior enlisted are brand new to the Air Force. But those senior NCOs and NCOs have that role charge of developing the officers who lead the organizations. And so having this PME is really important to help arm them with that charge that they have. What about career progression? What's the role of PME with that for enlisted?
Absolutely. So for the enlisted force structure, we have our tier development. So we have our airman's tier, our NCO tier, and our senior NCO tier. So as we develop within our career fields and we get our certain levels of skill sets, that helps us evolve when it comes to promotion. So promotion is a huge piece of the PME because we have requirements for promotion, and PME is one of those. So ALS, you have to complete that in order to pin on staff sergeant. And then you have your NCOA, which is a requirement to pin on master sergeant. And then you have your senior NCO, which is a requirement to pin on senior master sergeant. And then your chief's leadership course is something that you usually attend within that 12 months after you pin on chief to get those foundations and skill sets to have strategic conversations at that next echelon level with your senior leaders to guide and influence their decisions as they go forward.
Excellent. And I think one of the things that we've kind of talked around but is really important in this is that when you think about the time we spend for developing our airmen and especially in this case our enlisted airmen, we're basically investing in their readiness, because when the time comes, if deterrence fails and the flag goes up and we need to be ready to execute and to fight our nation's wars, we don't have time to do this because we're going to focus on that. And so that's that readiness piece that we're preparing our airmen and our guardians to go.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'd like to welcome an integral member of AFPC's enlisted PME branch who works every day to support airmen and guardians worldwide. With us today to talk about the range of enlisted development opportunities is Master Sergeant Joshua Harding from AFPC's Personnel Programs Directorate. Now, he served as AFPC's enlisted PME scheduling manager before promoting and moving on to become the policy and programs manager of enlisted PME. He also works closely with our sister services when it comes to scheduling airmen and guardians to attend joint and sister service PME. Welcome, Master Sergeant Harding.
Thank you, sir. I'm excited to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process and how airmen and guardians are selected for development?
Yes, General. Our enlisted PME is structured and spaced throughout our career because professional development is a continuous, lifelong process. Since PME is scheduled based on progression and rank, there isn't much an airman has to do other than be ready to attend. It starts at basic military training, where we all learn the basics about being an airman or guardian. When you make senior airman, your local base schedules you to attend Airman Leadership School. This is where we strengthen our followership and leadership skills as we prepare for positions of greater responsibility. Once you saw on Technical Sergeant, you can look to attend NCO Academy to put an edge on the leadership and management skills that you've developed through the years. Airmen can plan on attending the Senior NCO Academy after they so on Master Sergeant. Here we develop strategic leadership in the deployment of air and space power in support of national objectives. Finally, we have Chief Leadership Course, also called the Chief Leadership Academy. This is a rigorous program focusing on enterprise-level leadership, strategic thinking, and the complexities of leading. Our PME is designed to provide a career-long pursuit of education, training, and diverse experiences at the right time in our career. To supplement these, the Air Force has implemented enlisted airmanship continuum foundations courses. These courses strengthen character, connection, and commitment throughout an airman's career, reinforcing standards, core values, and readiness. I like to call them the triple C's. This comprehensive training ensures airmen are prepared to excel at every level in their career and contribute to the Air Force mission.
Thanks, Master Harding. Yeah, I remember when, it wasn't too long ago when they brought the foundations courses in the analysis, again, the importance of developing our airmen. It was 5 to 7 years between the courses that you mentioned first where airmen weren't getting development, formal development during the time. And so these foundations courses that are hosted at their bases, at their installations where they are serving, are really valuable to tie together those courses where they go, like ALS and NCOA and senior NCOA. So now, we talked about the courses. How are airmen and guardians selected for some of the other developmental programs that are available?
As we move up in rank, we start to compete for limited spots for developmental programs and other PME, like sister service, joint, and international military schools. Airmen and guardians can compete for seats in these schools to participate in the Air Force Institute of Technology, Air Force Education with Industry, Joint and Combined Warfighting School, and the Inter-American Air Forces Academy EPME. A nominative process is required to attend these courses, and it can be very competitive, so I would advise members to prioritize continuous growth across multiple areas, like consistently exceeding performance standards in their primary duties, seeking challenging assignments to expand their skill set, continue to develop strong leadership skills, and invest in their education.
Awesome. And then if you want more information, you can go out about these or other development programs. It's on MyFSS on the Enlisted Force Development homepage. So please go there and check it out. Now, the Total Force Service Center here operates a call center 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 361 days a year, where personnel experts are available to support you and provide answers to your questions. And we've recently had a question about enlisted development and PME. What if you get scheduled training but you can't attend for whatever reason? We know things in life happen or operational requirements. What is the deferment process when members can't attend the course they're scheduled for?
So, General, they can't attend. First thing they should do is contact their supervisor immediately and their local former training offices as soon as possible. We are aware things may happen last minute. However, finding a replacement and processing the deferment documentation could take some time. So waiting to the last minute, that could cause some problems because it may result in a no-show if you're not able to get the deferment processed in time.
That's a good point. And, of course, you know, exactly as you said, is what we want people to know, plan for or prepare for when you're going to be sent to these courses. And then try to make sure, work with your supervisors and your commanders to be available to go, because this is really important that we get maximum training out of these opportunities we have. The last thing kind of on this topic I'll go to Chief Nelson for is really there's, in addition to the developmental value for our profession of arms, there's also a value, additional value that EPME courses give our enlisted members. And Chief, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So throughout the Community College of the Air Force, we can get what's called our CCAF degree. So the programs itself, not only do you get to network and grow your skill set when it comes to the tactical operational side of the house for the Air Force, but you also get credits towards your college degree for your associates. So great opportunity once you attend those that the Air Force gives back.
Thanks, Chief. And thanks, Mr. Harding, for all that expertise today on all these different programs. It's a lot, but I appreciate you having me here. Yeah, I just want to reemphasize, you know, for all of this, is this enlisted development and education is just critical about for us being our premier Air Force and Space Force. And when you think about that opportunity to get together with your fellow airmen and guardians, and then on the joint programs with the members of other services, it's really building that warrior ethos that we need to have to be able to do what we do, not just for our nation, but for our partners and allies around the world for those missions. So thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, General.
Well, that's it for today. We've talked about officer development. We've talked about enlisted development on this podcast. And now we're going to, in the future, do one on civilian developmental education, kind of that third tier or third group. I just had the chance to serve on the Civilian Development Board last week, and the results for that will be released around mid-September. And we will have a future podcast around civilian development. But I'll just tell you right now, it's never too early to start discussing with your supervisor and with your higher-level reviewer about those opportunities for civilian development programs. All right. Well, the next podcast will be on AFPC's significant role in the casualty operations and sustainment and supporting our families and the POW/MIA community. If you have a question or issue you would like to address, look for our contact information in the comments. From your Air Force's Personnel Center, where our mission is people first, I'm General O'Donnell. Thank you for listening.
We hope you found this episode informative and helpful in taking charge of your career. Be sure to subscribe on Divots and visit our AFPC website for more resources. Have a question or topic suggestion? Reach out to us. Links to the sites and services presented in this episode of Personnel Matters, along with our website and email address, are on the podcast page. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.